91X now presents In Touch with Quinty, conversation and information about issues that matter to our community.
Good morning, and welcome to today's edition of In Touch with Quinty. I'm Alan Steinberg.
It's the end of the day at Prince Edward Collegiate Institute. This is where 16-year-old Talia Epstein goes to school.
Some weeks ago, I wrote a story about Talia's account after a Facebook post talking about her anti-Semitic experiences gained heaps of local attention. I wanted to check back in with her to see how things were going now. I sat down with Talia in the living room of her house just outside of Picton on Tuesday to discuss her story and to find out what's happened since she made her experience public on Facebook back in September.
I was wondering if you could tell me about the first time you experienced anti-Semitism within your community.
Yeah, the first time I experienced anti-Semitism was actually when I was living in Kingston. I remember that. The first time in the county, I don't remember specifically, but must have been when I was in grade 7, starting school there. I remember as soon as the kids found out I was Jewish, things just started rolling in. There wasn't really, that I can recall, like a distinct first event in the county, but things just kind of started as soon as I started grade 7 there.
Could you tell me about like how you kind of, not to be cliche, but like how you felt when you first experienced maybe these Jewish jokes, as you've said, or like...
Yeah. At first, I was just, like, really confused, I think, because nobody else seemed to have a problem with it, and it was really bothering me, but I wasn't really sure why, I guess. Like, I could see that it was wrong from my perspective, but the fact that nobody else saw it as an issue kind of made me feel like it wasn't maybe an issue, and I was overreacting or something. So, for a really long time, I very much just kind of let it happen. I kind of want to say like let it happen, but I definitely didn't say anything, and I just kind of let it bother me, like come from a distance, you know what I mean?
You said you were in 7th grade, so like at that age, you might not like realize that it's what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was, I guess, 12, so like I knew about a lot of the topics they were joking about from like a more factual and historical perspective already, which I think wasn't the case for most of them at that age. So I definitely started to think that those were things that everybody just joked about, because I'd never really been to public school before, so I didn't know what the culture was. So it was definitely a situation where it was a bit of a culture shock, I guess, when I heard all those things for the first time, and everybody else, it was very normalized for them.
I remember in our interview we did a couple months ago, you described a time where your dad, who is Jewish, went to your school and delivered, like, you know, insight into, like, the Jewish religion.
Yeah.
Would you mind, like, expanding on what happened when that happened?
Yeah, so it was fun. He came in when I was in grade 7 and 8. He came in both years. He made for Hanukkah, and he made latkes, and we lit the Hanukkah and played dreidel and stuff, and it was really fun. Very fun, yeah. But then once he left, people started kind of getting a little bit aggressive about it, I guess. They definitely didn't do anything to his face, or even like the day after, you know, we did a little assignment on it. Our teacher was like, wasn't that great? Everybody, I think, had a good time. Everybody liked the latkes. No one complained while they were eating. But afterwards, it was kind of, I guess, most of the kids' first like real introduction to any kind of real Jewish event. So they didn't really know what was going on, I guess, and in the weeks after that, I got some interesting questions, like, somebody asked if, I talked about this last time, but somebody asked if my dad had horns under his kippah, and he was hiding them there, and I was very confused, because that was one I'd never heard before, but, you know, like, it was a genuine question. They didn't know any better. We were all 12.
And, you went public about the anti-Semitism you were facing. Obviously, there were more instances. Could you walk us through sort of some of the other instances that you've faced in high school?
Yeah, so there are a few things that are very much recurring. Like, people like throw coins at my feet and things like that, draw swastikas on my stuff, obviously. A big one is when people are talking to me, they'll say Jew instead of you, like talking like that. And like a lot of like kind of like, I guess, edgy with like puns and things, like, yeah. You know, people think they're being clever or whatever, but obviously it's problematic. So those are kind of the things that kind of are recurring. And then there are some things that I think people do since it's kind of become more publicized, like at the Terry Fox run that our school did in the fall. It's fall, right? Yeah. So, like they take like a big group picture of the whole school, and all the like grade 9 and 10 boys that were kind of standing near me and my friends during that all did like the Hail Hitler salute while they were doing like the big group picture. And there was a teacher standing nearby, and she like ran over and she was like, no, stop right now, you know, like someone jumped in right away. But like it felt very like direct, things like that, you know.
Yeah. So that all led you to go public. What happened immediately when you went public? For those who have not heard your story, could you like walk us through some of the lots of the backlash that you faced?
Yeah, so basically right before I went public, actually going to talk about this later, but like the article I posted, I had posted in school, and some kids did get a chance to read it, so word did spread among the students about it, even though they're not really on like Facebook where I first got posted and stuff. But I got like, in the days after it was first published, I got like, I mean, hundreds of messages, most of which were very supportive, but I got a lot of backlash from my peers, more so than like the adult community in peace in the county. I would say the overwhelming message of that was kind of like, leave, you know? Basically just, if you don't like it here, then no one's forcing you to stay. I think that's been like kind of the consensus from the students at PCI throughout the whole situation, has kind of been, if you're not happy with the way things are in the county, then just get out. Actually, that reminds me, like about a week ago, I guess, I had a boy who I'd like never spoken to come from the hallway and asked me if I was the Jew. And I was like, yes. And he was like,
yes.
I guess that's me. Yeah, you got it. And he said, well, you clearly don't like it here, so why don't you just move to Israel? And I was like, well, I don't know, it's on the other side of the world. So, but it's like,
oh my.
Yeah.
For some of the messages you've received, some of them are even too vulgar to say, but you know, like included in my story, you and all your little Jew friends can leave the county, right? Yeah. Like, kick rocks and leave the county. That was one, right? Like, in just vulgar words. So not to plug my story, but check it out. You'll see it there too. In our previous interview, you also told me that when you put up your story around your school to spread awareness, the papers were swiftly taken down. How do we wrap our heads around that? And could you speak on, you know, how that kind of happened?
Yeah, that's something I was going to touch on earlier, but I knew we were going to get here.
I'm so sorry.
No, within 15 minutes of when I put up maybe like 10 copies of the thing throughout the high school, and within 15 minutes it all been taken down, which was not easy because, you know, I worked really hard on that. like, seriously.
Yeah, it was pretty long. It was lengthy.
Yeah, it was extensive.
Lots to say.
Yeah, but so I thought it was a message the students needed to hear, and they're not on Facebook, so I didn't really know how else they were going to hear it. Luckily, a lot of people did read it, even in that short time, but they were definitely tracking them down to, like, the administration. I was hiding those letters in, like, the most discreet corners of PCI. I was hoping they wouldn't find them, but, like, once they found one, they found all of them. It was quite impressive how quickly they searched the entire school. The first day they got taken down, I was talking to some of my friends about it at lunch in the cafeteria. And they were saying, oh yeah, we were talking to her when she was taking them down. She said that she was taking them down because they were hate mail. And I was like,
that's normal.
Great. Okay. Hate mail. So, you know, it's it wasn't very reassuring at that point, and it still isn't. It's I feel it wasn't the right move on their part, because I think it's a message the high school students do need to hear.
Back in September, Talia emailed a Picton sign shop called The Vinyl Solution regarding their name's similarity to Hitler's slogan he used in the Holocaust, The Final Solution. Talia informed the shop that their company name may come across as offensive to many. She received no response from the owner, which angered her and was part of why she publicized her story. I got in touch with the shop owner, where he said that he had no idea what The Final Solution even was up until this point, and that he had no intention in ever changing his name.
Yeah, so, like, I was shocked that he didn't know, and also slightly shocked that he seemed unwilling to learn, almost, which I think is another kind of common attitude, which is that once you believe in something, there's kind of a certain unwillingness to change that belief or defensiveness when that belief is challenged. So, but I have to think it also speaks to a bigger issue within, like, the education system and the culture here and elsewhere, that that kind of thing isn't widely enough known that someone could stumble across that.
Right. Since you went public with your story, it's kind of, you know, lots of stories have come out from out of the woodwork with other people's stories about anti-Semitism in the county. In particular, in response to the story I wrote a couple months ago, a former supply teacher at PECI who happens to be Jewish emailed me giving me her own story. She said that during a grade 10 history lesson that she was teaching about Kristallnacht or the Night of Broken Glass, and she encountered comments where students shamelessly referred to the event as a Jew barbecue. So these Jewish jokes seem to be a thing in your school, according to everyone's story. What do you make of that situation? I don't think it comes as a surprise to you.
No, it doesn't. Obviously, it's horrifying, and I think it's concerning that, you know, kids aren't even trying to, like, hide their jokes. You know, like, that was a teacher, or even, I guess, a supply teacher, but still a figure of authority in that situation. So the fact that there's not even even enough, like, fear for repercussions for that kind of thing, that it can be said so openly and without, like, any kind of hesitation, is, like, a big issue.
Some not so breaking news here, but very recent news. A couple of weeks ago at the Hastings Prince Edward District School Board meeting, Allison Kelly, who's a trustee on the chair there, proposed an anti-racism policy inspired by your story. So good work. What are your thoughts on this? And do you think an anti-racism policy could be effective in schools? And how would they go about that? Because you've literally tried to implement kind of an anti-racism policy at your own school.
Yeah, it's a big step. Allison Kelly is a lovely woman, and she works so hard, and she's so good at her job. So I really admire that she put that forward, and I appreciate that. I think it's definitely an important and necessary step. I don't think it's like a solve all, like they're going to implement some policy and this is all going to like go away.
Oh, yeah.
That's very unrealistic, but I definitely think it's a very good step in the right direction. I don't know how easily they could implement it. Any kind of change, there's backlash. That's no matter what it is. So, you know, any new policy introduced by the school board, you can't expect to just settle in immediately. And I don't know about the other schools on the board, but for PECI, I know there would be backlash to something like that if it took any, like, real physical change within the school. So I don't know if they have a plan in place for tackling any kind of backlash they might receive, and definitely will receive. But I definitely think it's a good step in the right direction, especially if they do have a plan and a system in place for combating that backlash when it does occur.
Could you describe some of the progress, if any, that has been made at PECI?
Yeah, we have a new principal, Mr. Andrew Ross.
Shout out.
Yeah, he's really good. So I've only spoken to him like twice, but he seems like very excellent, very progressive. I'm very much looking forward to what he's going to implement. We've started an inclusivity committee of sorts. It's basically students and staff, and Mr. Ross from PECI are kind of sitting on that right now. And we've just kind of been discussing some like short-term things that we could implement within the school, kind of like trying to make it a more accepting environment. So just making sure there's like visibility and stuff, I think, is kind of a priority for that right now. So things are moving slowly on that committee, but it does exist, which is very positive.
Big reflection here. What do you attribute the racism you've experienced most to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
in your community?
Definitely a lack of education. That's like my talking point these past few months. This is what I keep coming back to. I think if people knew about issues, they wouldn't be as widespread. I don't think it's people just genuinely have no idea about how the things they're saying kind of affect people or have the potential to affect people. It's very much just, you know, speaking from a place of ignorance that's causing these issues.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to my conversation with Talia Epstein. This has been Alan Steinberg for In Touch with Quinty. Be sure to catch next Friday's episode on 91X.
This has been In Touch with Quinty, heard weekly at this time on Alternative Radio 91X.